Judiciary Committee is called to order. We do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of myself, Senator McGuire, my Vice Chairman, Senator John Coghill, Senator Peter Michicki, and Senator Mia Costello. We just have one item on the agenda today, and that is the matter of the CS for Senate Bill 30, Version S, and I would take a motion.
Sure. Madam Chair, I move that as a working document, we take up the CS for Senate Bill Number 30, Judiciary. It's the 29LS0231/S version.
Any objection to that motion? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we do have Version S before us. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take very quickly two folks for invited testimony, and then we're going to go into the amendments. There are 10 of them, and then we'll go to public testimony that might be out there, and then final debate on the bill and move it out of committee today. So invited testimony that is on the line is, first we're going to go to Seneca Fino, who is a municipal prosecutor with City of Anchorage. Ms. Fino, are you there? Seneca, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Again, this is Seneca Fino. I'm the municipal prosecutor for Anchorage, and thank you for the opportunity to be heard today. We have submitted written comments for the committee, and I'll just be running through most of those very briefly, and then Mr. Wheeler will be providing some testimony as well. So I will start on page 2 of our comments, beginning with sections 103 and 104, reference open containers. And we provide a pretty detailed explanation of some problems that we perceive in the definition of open container as contained in this bill. And specifically, our concern is that we want laws that are clean and easy for citizens to comply with, and that are similarly clean and easy for police officers to enforce consistently and fairly. And we believe that the open container definition of marijuana, including the requirement that there be consumption within the vehicle, doesn't do those things for our citizens or police officers and creates an unenforceable ordinance.
Seneca, can you refer to the page of the bill that you're talking? And this will just help for you and Chief New as well. When you're speaking about a provision in the bill, if you wouldn't mind referring us to the page that you're speaking about, and then if there's a specific improvement that you'd like to make to the bill, what is that specific improvement?
Absolutely. So we're looking at sections 103 and 104, pages 60 through 61 of the bill.
Thank you.
And the specific, excuse me.
Do I have this on mute?
No, you don't. Whoever just asked that, no, you don't. Just trying to help you out. Before you say something bad about a committee member. Not that you would.
The specific recommendation is that the language be changed to prohibit marijuana in the passenger compartment of the vehicle while the vehicle is being driven. And this proposed language was included in our written comments.
Okay.
I believe that language will clarify this issue for citizens and police officers.
Okay. While being driven. So in section 102 and 103, after the phrase, or an open marijuana container, while being driven?
So give me just 1 second.
She said, give me 1 second. She's rereading it.
I believe the most appropriate change would be under section 102, so lines 15 through 18 on page 60. A person may not drive a motor vehicle, et cetera, when there is an open bottle, can, or other receptacle containing an alcoholic beverage, or there is any marijuana in the passenger compartment of the vehicle.
Any marijuana?
Correct.
Okay, that's what you'd like to see. All right, well, we'll get some testimony on that. Okay.
Moving forward page 3 of our comments, we're now referring to section 51 of the bill, pages 29 through 32. And this is reference 1738-200 through 230.
Okay.
And it appears to us that there is no penalty in place for possession of marijuana greater than 1 ounce. There are penalties in place for possession of plants and for transporting or delivering volumes of marijuana.
So, Seneca, did you work with my office? I'm confused. I thought you had a teleconference. There are amendments coming on this? Did you?
We spoke with some aides from Madam Chair's office and Senator Cockfield's office last night.
Okay, so you're aware of the forthcoming amendments regarding this?
I am not aware of forthcoming amendments regarding this.
Okay. Well, there are.
If there is an amendment, then I can go ahead and skip this portion if that would
facilitate
the discussion. So moving on to our next section, section 51, which references pages 31 through 32 of the bill. Again, 1738-200 through 230. And this is a discrepancy between penalties for alcohol offenses by minors and marijuana offenses by minors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in this section, there is a violation. It's a misconduct involving marijuana in the third degree for a person under the age of 21 to enter a marijuana store and present a false ID and to do so for the purpose of inducing sales of marijuana or marijuana products. And we point out in our written comments that this is significantly different in penalty from the current similar provision related to alcohol. In Title IV, that is a Class A misdemeanor. And also in Title IV, there are not these additional requirements that you present the false ID and that you do so for the purpose of obtaining alcohol. And I would point out that in addition to the vast discrepancy in the penalty as well as the elements of the comparable offenses, the initiative itself, Ballot Measure 2, included a prohibition simply on people under 21 entering the premises. And that is not included in this prohibition. It's more detailed than that.
Okay.
Moving forward, Section 51, page 30, we're talking about lines 6 through 26, which is AS 1738-200. And this is culpability for establishments that allow certain things to happen for individuals under the age of 21. And there's just a cutoff here that there's nothing for individuals under the age of 18. And if you look, again, subsection 2A, it's for a person under the age of 21 who is also at least 18. Subsection 2B, a person under the age of 21 who is also at least 18, and on down the line. And so the confusion or the question on our part is whether there are penalties for people allowing these things to happen or doing these things to individuals under the age of 18.
Okay.
Moving forward, section 51, we're at page 29, lines 11 through 20, and page 30, lines 6 through 24. We're drawing a comparison between between 1738-200 subsection 1 and subsection 2. And put very simply, in this section, there's a higher mens rea for what I would consider a dealer or a completely unlicensed seller selling to a juvenile than the mens rea for an otherwise legal establishment selling to a juvenile. And it just in terms of trying to ensure that everyone comes into the legal market, it seems that perhaps that mens rea is switched, and we would want to have an easier time convicting the illegal seller than we would the otherwise legal seller who made that mistake. And just as a closing for my comments, generally we're highly concerned about diversion to youth, and we think that some of these penalties or these what seem to be lack of penalties may not create this clear and strong and effective regulatory system that we would like to see in place to ensure that our youth are safe and that we'll fend off that federal intervention. So we're hoping to make a distinction between persons under 21 possessing under an ounce and over an ounce. Those comments are on page 4, specifically so that there is there's a greater penalty for possessing larger amounts of marijuana.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, and now I have Chief Mew, and I'm just going to you guys. It's creating a little bit of confusion to have you testify before we do our amendments. I wouldn't have done it that way, but I promised Shalon that I would allow you to testify because you have time constraints. So I apologize to my committee members, but that was a commitment I made. So Chief Mew?
Madam Chair, thank you very much. In the interest of time, I'm just here for answering questions. I think Mr. Wheeler has one thing he'd like to go over with you, and I will take it easy on your time and defer to him.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wheeler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Dennis Wheeler. I'm the municipal attorney here in Anchorage, and I'm speaking to our first comment in our written submittal, and that is at section 126, page 71. It refers to statute proposed as 2935-148. Again, that's on page 71. And it speaks to the authority of local governments to regulate under the auspices of AS-1738.
Okay.
And the language actually mirrors some language that's already in Title 29, which, as you know, is the title that addresses all things municipal, borough, and city in terms of their authority under the law.
Yes.
And I guess the way I would describe this by analogy is this. We often hear state officials and state government complaining about federal overreach, federal unfunded mandates in all sorts of arenas, whether it has to do with oil leasing or wilderness designations or whatever it might be, and it creates quite a bit of concern. At the local level, we have sort of the same philosophical difference with the state on occasion, where we think the state perhaps goes too far in restricting what local governments should be able to do. I think this is one of those situations where it comes to mind. And I would encourage the committee to look at a couple of examples where perhaps there's some better language to use. In Title IV, under the alcohol provisions, there's some language that's been in a place for a long time that allows and explains what local governments can do in that arena. And similar language to that effect is being incorporated into HB 75, which is currently with House Community and Regional Affairs, I believe. And we're working, we being the various different municipal entities, including AML, we're working with the bill sponsor to figure out the best form of that language so that local governments and established villages can exercise some local discretion, if you will, in how they implement provisions if they opt in or opt in part. And we would respectfully request the committee give that some consideration. And thank you for your time.
Yeah. And so, Mr. Wheeler, you're aware that we're adding to what is already in statute, right?
Yes, I understand that this is a new provision in Title 29, but my concern is that there may be some better language. I think this one creates a little bit of confusion because it anticipates additional statutes that the municipalities may use, but from my perspective, particularly as a home rule, we're generally allowed to regulate unless explicitly prohibited. So really the difference of philosophy and view, and so we think the provision in Title IV fit a little bit better than the language that's proposed here.
Okay, fair enough.
Well,
all right, well, thank you very much for all of your testimony. We appreciate it, and thanks for your time working yesterday and the day before with our offices as well. We appreciate that. Okay, next we are going to go to the amendments. So there's a big stack of them. We will start with amendment number one from Senator Coghill. And Senator Coghill, did you see amendment number 10?
Yeah, in fact, I was going to withdraw amendment number one in
terms, okay,
so that when we get to number 10, I think that answers my question better.
Okay.
So I'll withdraw amendment number one.
Okay, amendment number one has been withdrawn. So amendment number two by Senator Coghill.
Madam Chair, I'll move the S.3 as amendment number two. And let me...
I'll object just for purposes of discussion.
Page 32. And if I could ask Jordan Schilling to come up a little bit, he can help me plug in because I think I might need a little help on explaining some of the nuances of this. Page 32.
We'll just have Jordan and Amy come up if you guys want to and just be right there. And Jeff, you're online as well, right?
Yes, Madam Chair, I am online.
Thank you.
And this has to do with misconduct in the fourth degree, I believe. And Jordan, if I could ask Jordan to kind of present this.
Okay. Mr. Schilling, if you'd put yourself on the record and go ahead and walk us through Amendment Number 2, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. So are we looking at S3?
Yes.
In a previous version of the bill, I believe version G, which is not a version that the committee adopted, but it's one that we worked on for some time, the definition for public place was the definition for public place in Title 11 was what we referred to in regards to the ban on consumption in public. The current version, version S, creates an exception for that definition of public place. And it reads, except when authorized by the terms of registration issued under this chapter. So that exception would seem to allow for a license or registration of some sort that would allow smoking in public, like a private club scenario.
Okay.
So once he, and if I could, Madam Chair, I could explain the reason behind it, and he helped me with the technical side of it.
Excellent.
This is, if it's a public safety issue as far as I'm concerned. If you have, let's just say you have smokehouses, that would be, say, allowed under certain registration issues. A little bit different than alcohol establishments because in this particular case, you're going to go someplace and imbibe and then you're going to go somewhere. And I was just wondering to myself, do we want to start having smokehouses, basically, or places where you can imbibe? It was really a public safety concern that I thought about. This is not kind of the must-have. It just caught my attention as something that I was thinking, well, I don't know how they would regulate it under registration, so I was, that was my basic question. So I know it wasn't another version, so it got in there, and I think the idea is we're going to be putting together licensing anyway. If this stays in, I just wanted to highlight it as a question mark for those who would do regulating when we get there, or take it out and have it put in later. So that's my rationale.
Excellent. Discussion by members of the committee.
Question?
Yes, Senator Machicki.
Does it contradict the initiative in any way?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, it does not appear to. The initiative was fairly silent. It said no smoking in public and didn't define public.
If I could answer that, Madam Chair, this is the question of there's public places and then there's public establishments. And, you know, regulating like alcohol is one thing, and then, you know, this is the kind of the public establishment question, really. And I think there was some discussion about it. I just wanted to make sure it was very clear if we left it in the bill that that's what we're talking about, and that. And I would expect that the registration then would be a very high level if we leave it in. That's all.
Okay.
Can I ask Bruce Schulte, that's the only person I see with the initiative group on there. Bruce, are you following the discussion? This is page 32 of the bill.
Lines 21.
And this is the discussion. We started a couple weeks ago down this path and got into it with Cynthia Franklin. The discussion was we had an initial definition of public place that included businesses, and then we talked about the fact, though, that in alcohol licensing that some businesses were licensed then to dispense alcohol, and that some licenses may be given to certain establishments to have marijuana as well, but we didn't know what was going to happen. So this is a question about whether we're going to delete except when authorized by the terms of registration issued under this chapter or not, and what the initiative sponsors meant by public place.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Bruce Schulte with the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation. And yes, I have been following the discussion. I would just suggest that the definition of public versus private becomes a little gray when you're talking about private businesses or private events that are accessible by the public. And you know, we could discuss, you know, the meaning of a public establishment versus a private business. But in looking at the Title IV regulations right now, and there are a number of permits articulated for alcohol use. For example, club licenses, recreational site license, caterer's permit, special events permits. It would be our hope that permits of that type could be considered by the regulatory board under certain circumstances and, of course, with input from the local authority. Lacking that provision in this bill, we feel would unfairly limit what private businesses and private events could do on their own property. So that would be our suggestion, our recommendation would be to keep this in, recognizing Senator Coghill's concerns about the applicability. We believe that this could be handled in regulatory by the regulatory board.
Any other discussion?
Just a little bit
Senator
of
Coghill.
And I appreciate that this is the questions that this initiative brought up. They said it would be fine, or it would be illegal to smoke in public, and we're making an exception. So, but the exception certainly says it has to be registered. I understand that. I just don't know what that means, and I don't know what the universe that would be in. So, in my view, I would rather start with the basics of the initiative and then move slowly forward. And so, you know, I'm game to the will of the committee on this one, but that's the main concern.
Jeff, I guess a question for you. If it were taken out and Cynthia Franklin and her group came up with a regulation that issued a license at some certain point in the future that allowed for an establishment to have, I mean, I don't know what the future is going to look like, but let's say some form of a license where people consume marijuana on a premises. Do you think by adopting the amendment Senator Coghill has that we are tying their hands to do that, or do you think that they would be able to adopt those regulations in the future?
Well, Madam Chair, my sense, and I can certainly look into this in a more intensive way later this afternoon if you'd like, but my sense is that language, Senator Coghill's offered language, would give a regulatory entity enough space within which to craft regulations that seem reasonable and kind of, you know, implement the intent of that language.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Machiki.
This is, no matter how much we strive to regulate marijuana like alcohol, this is one of the challenged areas.
Yes.
Because you can't serve someone who is intoxicated legally. Mm-hmm. So if you're smoking marijuana, you're going to have some level of intoxication. It's not something that you sip during the evening as a social thing in the same way. And I know some folks will be offended by that, but it's just the reality. So it would be very difficult to have a club where people smoke marijuana because they could only smoke it once. You couldn't serve them a second time, right? It's not the same as alcohol as it would be in a bar. So it's a challenge, and I see where Senator Coghill's trying to go here. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's going to take a lot more thought and a lot more work than the time we have before the due date here.
Senator Coghill.
Madam Chair, and that was kind of my pause here because we're doing so many other things in the marijuana law.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we're saying private, go for it, trade it, sell it, manufacture it. But at this point, we're talking about an establishment exception. And I just think at this point, we go slower. That's my thought.
Fair enough. I agree. I think, and Godspeed to that board that's going to work on this thing. I can't tell you how excited I am for 3:30 to come today. Anyway, okay, we digress. Any further objection? I'll remove mine to amendment number two. Okay, hearing and seeing none, amendment number two carries.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just a quick statement. I'm going to give it the same litmus test every time to see if it's counter to the initiative.
Yeah,
I don't believe this is at this stage of the game, which is why I'm supporting it. But
well, and that's what our attorney just said. Mr. Schulte, you heard that I think there's incredible latitude given to the board in crafting regulations, the same with the ABC board in the dispensing of a regulated product. And if it's within the interest of public safety, and they'll move forward in that direction. So in that spirit, amendment number three, Senator Coghill.
Madam Chair, I'll move amendment number three, which is dotted S.12.
Okay, and I'll object for purposes of discussion.
And this goes to maybe what I would call belts and suspenders on personal use.
Okay.
And that is the paragraph deals with personal use of marijuana. And this says that under this paragraph, assisting doesn't include displaying, purchasing, or transporting. Because they talk about assisting at the end of this section. Let me see. And Madam Chair, maybe the thing to do is to look at the initiative. Do you have the initiative there? If you look under the 1738.020 in that assisting, they have A, B, C, D, and E. And the assisting, another person who is 21 years of age or older of any of the acts described in paragraphs A through D of this section, it's lawful for you to do that. And I'm just saying, okay, that's fine. But that doesn't mean using, displaying, purchasing, or transporting. So I'm just putting it's probably more descriptive because I don't want to think assisting is possessing. I don't think we want assisting to be consumption.
Yep, okay. Using, displaying, purchasing. Okay, I want to hear from Bruce Schulte, the initiative, the representative for the initiative sponsors.
Madam Chair, Bruce Schulte here. I apologize. I didn't quite follow the change that is being proposed. I wonder if...
Yes, Senator Coghill.
I can explain it. Thank you, Bruce. So let's see. We're on page 26, line 10. And this goes on the initiative as far as assisting persons who are 21 years of age or older. I'm just saying, to be clear, assisting doesn't mean in this initiative. This amendment says under this paragraph, assisting does not include using, displaying, purchasing, or transporting, possessing, growing, or processing. And so it was really kind of a belt and suspenders to make sure that when people look at that section under assisting, that we're very clear what we're talking about, just assisting. You get that?
I think I do.
Because you don't have the amendment information in front of them. I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, if I may...
Yes, Mr. Schilling.
I can maybe make another stab at this.
Okay.
So AS 1738.020, it's what many of us consider to be kind of the heart of the initiative. This is the section of the initiative that explicitly says these are the things you may do. You may have an ounce or less, six plants. But the final subsection there says one of the things you may do is assist someone... in doing those things. And assisting isn't defined.
Right.
And there is some concern by some of the municipalities, specifically the Fairbanks North Star Borough contacted us on this issue, wanting to know what assisting means. Does assist, left undefined, assisting appears to allow someone to kind of blow past the 1 ounce limit or blow past the six plant limit. So for example, if someone were growing 12 plants in their home, and they were caught doing so, they could potentially make a claim that they were growing those additional six for someone else. They're assisting them. Uh-huh. And I think really it's difficult to gauge the intent of that provision, but we kind of view it as assisting might be giving someone a ride somewhere where they might obtain their marijuana, not necessarily going past the one-ounce limit or the six-plant limit.
Interesting. Okay, Mr. Schulte, does that make more sense?
It does, and I think I agree with the intent in principle. I'm just trying to envision a scenario where that could inadvertently have the opposite effect, because assisting could also be somebody just showing up at a friend's house to help them fertilize the six plants that they're legitimately allowed to have, you know, just guiding them on, you know, proper fertilization or lighting or something like that, which would be a fairly innocuous activity. I agree that, you know, we wouldn't want to see this as a loophole whereby other portions of the law could be abused.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Cargill.
And Bruce, maybe to give you some comfort, if you look at the Section E in 020, it really says you can assist in any of these acts described in A through D. So I don't want to limit that. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a loophole, that's all.
Through the Chair, thank you, Senator Cargill. Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I don't see a problem with this. I mean, as I said, I agree with the intent. We don't want people abusing the law unfairly. So I guess I'd have to say I don't have any objections to this, not seeing perhaps the full implications of it, but at the moment I don't.
Okay, any other concerns? Senator Machicki.
Just a question. I'm just to clarify for myself, it's only the amount you're focused on. It's just saying that you can't do the over 1 ounce and over six plants as a proxy for another.
Right. Exactly.
Thank you. Enough. Any other concerns? I'll remove my objection. Okay. Any other further objection to amendment number 3? Hearing and seeing none. Objection removed. Amendment number 3 carries. That brings us to amendment number 4. Is this ours, Amy?
Not mine.
No.
That's Senator Machicki's?
It is.
Senator Machicki, amendment number 4. You want to move that?
Actually, Madam Chair, with your agreement, I'd like to withdraw amendment 4 for now.
Okay.
It's, again, one of those challenges on trying to regulate marijuana like alcohol in a case that may not fit right now.
Absolutely. It's withdrawn. Okay. We are to amendment number 5 by Senator Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 5.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
And if I can get to the page here.
No worries. So page 24, line 25. Huh?
And this is under education and research, right?
Yes. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, it's a fairly straightforward amendment. When I looked through the education list, it includes a number of items related to educational programs on the abuse of alcohol and marijuana, but it never included the education related to what the marijuana laws are. And it's my understanding in speaking with agencies that are working on this already, that there are efforts out there already to communicate what the law is, but I thought that it would be prudent for us to mention it here, and then they can work together in cooperation. So.
Excellent. I'll remove my objection. Any further discussion or objection to amendment number 5 on education? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, amendment number 5 carries. That brings us to amendment number 6. Senator Coghill.
Madam Chair, I'll move amendment number 6.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Madam Chair, you heard me last time talking about how do we describe marijuana when it has these huge potency ranges. And this is my first attempt. I have 2 amendments, so if this one doesn't pass, and this is probably the most complex, so I thought I'd start with that one.
Okay.
This deals goes right to the initiative definition of marijuana, which is on page 17. So I'm going to turn there myself.
Okay.
And this amendment would make the concentration levels the issue that you are measuring. There are some difficulties with this, and maybe Bruce can help us with this, but marijuana means all parts, and we're taking seeds and leaves and buds out of the plant with a THC concentration up to 50% of the seeds thereof. So we're trying to say if it's a concentrate, 50% of the THC is equal to the amount of 1 ounce. And that's the closest I can get. in preparation of planted seeds or resin, including marijuana concentrate and marijuana. So this goes right to this is probably the hardest one to get to because it really messes with the definition, but it really comes to one place where we might be able to answer that question. And maybe Mr. Schulte can tell me if that's even an equivalency that is something that they had ever pondered.
Okay, Mr. Schulte, are you following the testimony from Senator Coghill?
I am. I just want to make sure, Madam Chair, are we looking at page 17 or?
We are looking at page 17.
Oh, and my apologies. This would insert a new subsection, and it would actually amend the definition of marijuana. Do you want me to read that whole thing to you, Bruce? Or do you have a copy of the amendment by any chance?
Are you at the Anchorage IO, Bruce?
Senator, I do not have a copy of the amendment. I apologize.
Are you at the Anchorage IO?
I am not.
Rats.
All right.
Just a second. Can you fax it to him?
Senator McGuire, it is on BASIS now, so he can.
Okay. So, Bruce, you know how to use BASIS, right?
Sort of.
Okay. Amy, can you. So, if he goes on BASIS, you just click on the amendments, and we're looking at amendment number 6 right now. Senator Coghill has 3 amendments that he's going to propose that relate to this particular issue. Amendment 6, which is S.6, Amendment 7, which is S.11, and Amendment 8, which is S.1, all by Martin.
Actually, Madam Chair, it's just 6 and 8.
Oh, my apologies, 6 and 8.
So, in fact, I can lay this aside while he gets a chance to look at it.
Would you like us to do that, Mr. Schulte?
Madam Chair, that would be awesome. I'm furiously looking it up on my computer right now.
Okay, excellent. So we're going to set aside amendment number 6. That's the only one that is actually before us procedurally. But the matter of amendment number 8 also relates to it. So when we get to that, we'll just put that aside too. So now we're on amendment number 7.
Before we do procedurally,
yes.
Can we lay it aside and still take up another amendment?
Oh, so why don't you... I'll remove my objection and you withdraw it.
I'll just withdraw it and knowing that we will bring up another similar. I'm trying to keep ourselves straight. So
she's looking at us.
I will withdraw it for the present. That way we can make other motions, I think.
Okay, I withdrew my objection. He withdrew it. So that's amendment number 6. Okay, amendment number 7. This is by myself, Ms. Saltzman. This is a long one.
Why don't you make the motion, I'll object.
I move amendment number 7.
And I'll object so we can hear it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment number 7 will be changed some due to the new definition of public being changed from the previous amendment. So keeping that in mind, maybe sort of conceptually, we can think about this. This amendment was set out to address a couple different things that were sort of discrepancies in the language in Section 50 and 51. And so starting on page 29, there was lack of clarity as far as what the difference is between delivers and transports. Yeah. And what we're trying to get at, and I believe that someone from the municipality spoke to this, that definition of possession and trying to figure out what that means and then at what point you have marijuana with you and then what that amount is. And so on page 29, what we're doing there is just kind of clearing this up because on by removing or, because then in on page 2 of the amendment, you can see that we add in delivers, transports 1 ounce or less of usable marijuana for remuneration, and delivers or transports up to 6 immature plants for remuneration. And this was formerly in the B misdemeanors, and this has been moved to an A. And the reasoning behind that was just that it seems like a better fit. I think that from what I understand, more of the crimes of transporting and selling and delivering to maybe a minor would be needing a harsher penalty. And so it makes more sense to move them into a misdemeanor A. So that was the intent behind that. On page 31, lines 4 through 7, this is where we address that issue of possessing. So we add some clarity to that. And Hillary Martin could probably speak a little bit clearer to this. We just received this amendment about a minute ago, so I haven't had an opportunity to really dig into this. On line 15 of the amendment here, it says, possesses, purchases, displays, delivers, or transports, and the idea there was to really keep that language of the initiative in this bill and make it clear that an eye more than 1 ounce of usable marijuana in a public place except when authorized by terms of registration issued under this chapter, which is probably going to be, that part will be taken out as to fit in with the amendment number 3. And then moving on to I, more than 6 plants except when authorized by terms of registration issued in this chapter, which again would be taken out.
Okay, Ms. Martin, are you on the line?
No.
She's off?
No.
Okay. Okay, keep going, Amy. And then, Jesse, can you call her? Okay. So, 7 o'clock.
Madam Chair, so the this whole idea of the registration
is now out.
So the essence of it is dealing with just the transportation of this particular amount?
Through the Chair, Senator Coghill, the confusion is that there wasn't a crime about possessing over 1 ounce. So you couldn't transport more than 1 ounce or the 6 plants, but you could possess it. So if you were in the process of going from one place to another, all you would have to do is just literally sit down, and you could have any amount of marijuana on you, basically. And I think that Casey Schroeder from the Department of Law could speak to this as well to kind of add, because she brought this to my attention, and we wanted to kind of clear this up.
For Amy, Madam Chair?
Yes.
So the essence really is the line, page 31, line 4 through 11, new insert, right? That's the essence of what you want to do here?
Yes.
All right, got it. Okay,
and,
got it.
Senator Coghill, through the chair, as well as moving the delivery and the selling and in from a B misdemeanor to an A misdemeanor. Those are the two major components of this amendment.
It would have to be a conceptual amendment then, right?
Senator Costello.
And I think I'd be more comfortable with conceptual because it's my understanding that on line 17 of the amendment, that phrase, except when authorized by the terms of registration issued under this chapter, we would be removing that. So I'd feel more comfortable in a conceptual format.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, because that won't be there anymore. That's part of the issue when you have 10 amendments, right?
That's true.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Machicki.
So I'm assuming a conceptual amendment in B on line 17 ends at the word place, and on line 19 ends at the word plants?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it's just the part relating to the public place that got changed under amendment number 3. So as soon as we get Hillary back on the line, she can just clarify that for us, but we've done conceptual amendments before. Okay, and that means that was the muni's concern. A big part of their testimony was the possession part. We were trying to make sure that we captured all parts of the movement, and now we have it. Any further discussion?
Based on the last testimony heard from Senator Wilkowski, it could be mature plants. So a mature plant could be a rather large one or a rather small one, right? So more than 6 marijuana plants. Do we need to say mature or not? I'm just curious.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, that is a great point. Maybe adding in the language from the ballot initiative about 3 of them. Well, actually, that's home possession. I think we would actually have to kind of look into that a little bit more. We would need Hillary, I think, to specify that. But that's a good point.
Bruce, have you had a chance to hear the testimony on this? And do you have any comments from the initiative folks?
Madam Chair, no, we are talking about amendment number
7.
7, okay.
I
I don't have any heartburn with this. I guess this is okay. This kind of speaks to the earlier comment from the Anchorage officials. They were, if I'm not mistaken, they were looking for some clarification on the penalties.
Yes.
And this is the amendment that addresses that.
And the possession part. So, it the way it was drafted, it sort of looked like you could get a penalty for transporting it. Moving it around, but if you sort of just stopped and were possessing it over 1 ounce, there, it wasn't a clear penalty.
And this would apply only to people who are not operating under a permit or license.
That's exactly right. 21 and older. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Chicky.
Is Mr. Schulte comfortable with line 4 on page 2 that only defines plants as up to 6 immature plants for delivery or transport, when I believe the initiative said 6 plants, only 3 being flowering or mature?
Through the chair, Senator Michik, I'm looking at page 2, and you said, are we looking at line 4 of the amendment or line 4?
Yes. Line 4 of the amendment. So this is delivers or transports 1 ounce or less of usable marijuana for remuneration, or delivers or transports up to 6 immature plants for remuneration.
Okay, Madam Chair, to the Chair, then, Senator Mitchell, no, I don't have any heartburn with that. That seems like a reasonable terminology.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Amendment number 7, conceptual before us, knowing that the portions that refer to public place will be put together by Hillary with the prior amendment number 3 that passed to ensure that it's compatible. Do you remove your objection?
Yes, I'll remove my objection.
Okay, any further objection to amendment number 7? Senator Michiki, yes.
A clarification.
Yes.
29, following line 22.
On the bill?
Yes.
Okay, page 29. And which line?
I'm still hovering around the new sub-paragraphs.
Okay, this is misconduct involving marijuana in the first degree.
Mm-hmm. So we still, why do the 6 immature plants for remuneration, is that how you pronounce?
Remuneration.
Can you define remuneration for me?
Madam Chair.
Senator Michiki, through the chair, I believe that it's for money. That's been the closest definition, is that it's some sort of dollar amount.
I didn't bring it today.
Just for what it's worth, Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Klucko.
I am going to have amendment number 9.
And bartering,
that
right?
Is going to actually add the word barter in there so that it's clear. But really, mine was more around the favor question, right?
For value.
Value question.
Yeah.
The value question. So,
Senator Costello.
Thank you. And I was curious if the conceptual amendment could be phrased in such a way where we actually read from the section of this that we're trying to address. Just for clarity's sake, we're working off a document that we're editing in a way, and so I just want to be very clear what the conceptual amendment
yes.
is.
Okay, so to be very clear, amendment number 7 passes as it is, but the part that's conceptual is reference to, in lines 2 and 3, public place, and lines 14 through 21, the places where public place is referenced.
Madam Chair, we would need to leave in the public place, but just take out the exception for the...
Right, and so it's conceptual only as to those parts because we want Ms. Martin to marry up amendment number 3 with that. Consistency. So not the part where we're adding penalties, not the part where we're discussing the registered marijuana establishment, et cetera. So just those parts.
So for me,
Senator
the issue
Falco.
Is really the transportation, deliver, or display, right?
Yep.
And if I might just add one thing, Senator Coghill, through the chair, is the possession part as well. Okay. Needed just some clarity as far as what that means and in a public place, because we didn't have that clarified in the bill. So you could have up to an ounce in six plants, or, you know, if you were, you could possess any amount of marijuana. So it was just an unclear sort of like your previous amendment with assisting.
Stacey Schroeder gave us the, and she said probably wouldn't happen, but just on the outlying chance that if you were sort of running or walking, transporting, and just stopped and sat, she is the example, and with your purse, and just stopped, you would be possessing it.
Or you're carrying it.
You wouldn't necessarily be in motion. You could argue you were transporting it, but you could also argue that you were not, just sitting. So anyway, it's just to clarify it.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Machicki.
Why did we not just add the words? So I guess here's my question. Why are we separating, instead of the six marijuana plants, not more than three of which are mature flowering plants, why is that not the same level for delivery or transport? Why did we drop it down to six immature plants?
Mr. Schilling, Ms. Saltzman?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, that's an excellent question. I would need legal to explain that. We just sent this conceptually, and this is what they came back with. Just so we haven't had a chance to kind of vet this, but that is a really good point, and we could add that in.
That is what it says
the
already, though.
Plants so that on line 13 of the...
Well, the current definition of misconduct involving marijuana in the second degree is up to six immature marijuana plants for remuneration. So that's already in the bill.
Okay. Right. So I'm wondering why we're separating the two levels. If
Bruce, do you remember, this is going to go back to probably 3 weeks ago. Can you remind me, not being a marijuana... expert?
Madam Chair, could you repeat the question? Because I think I understand, but I want to make sure I'm answering the question appropriately.
The question from Senator Machicki is, there are parts of the bill where we refer to six immature marijuana plants for remuneration, and then there are parts where we refer to six marijuana plants, not more than three of which are mature flowering plants.
Okay, Madam Chair, thank you for the clarification. In my view, it breaks down to whether you're growing at home, personal cultivation, versus trading plants or gifting plants to someone else. If you're growing at home, the very nature of that process requires that some of the plants be immature, some of the plants be mature. In the case where you're giving the plants to someone else, one could argue, and I would even defend this argument, that if you give someone a mature plant, you are effectively giving them marijuana in an amount that could exceed the 1 ounce maximum. Because those mature plants may be just a couple of days of drying away from being usable marijuana. So I think the distinction is appropriate, and I would recommend maintaining it because there is that distinction between home cultivation and gifting the plants to another person.
Senator Machicki?
I hear what you're saying. I'm always concerned when you're... I like laws to be as black and white as possible. At what point does a plant become mature? If you go with six plants, you go with six plants. If not, it's a judgment call, and I think that's... I just personally think that leads to more difficulties. I mean, it almost makes more sense to say less plants at full maturity or something, where someone doesn't have to judge the very moment a plant becomes mature.
Fair enough. And we also at one point got into the discussion of how big is the plant. We've had that discussion too. So anything further on that, Mr. Schulte?
Madam Chair, thank you. It is a fair point that Senator Michiki makes, and I guess, and there is a period of time between when a plant first begins to mature and when it is fully mature. In fact, that could span, you know, 4 to 6 weeks easily. I'm not sure I can support lesser quantity of plants because of what it says in the initiative. But again, I think that the distinction is an appropriate one. To be honest, it would be very difficult to transfer a fully mature plant. They don't transport very well. I've never tried it, but I'm pretty sure they would not.
We're learning a lot here today. Senator Michiki.
It would become very positive. They would fall over and break.
Senator Michiki.
To be clear, I'm not suggesting less plants. I'm suggesting removing a gray area. But if those supporting the initiative are comfortable with the changes that only allow the transport of immature plants, then I'm comfortable with it. It seems like a difficult way to determine what someone's carrying in their vehicle or van or backup truck. But I'm okay with that.
Okay, any further objection? And just again to clarify, the conceptual part will relate to the public place language, and the only reason it has to be conceptual is because Senator Coghill's Amendment Number 3 passed, redefining somewhat a public place. And so Ms. Martin will marry those two concepts up, and I will make sure that the CS that comes out is circulated to all members of the committee, so that you get a chance to look at that and make sure that that meets with your approval for how you envisioned it. Okay? Any further objection to Amendment Number 7? Okay. So Amendment Number 7 carries. That brings us, if Bruce is ready, we could go back to Amendment Number 6, or Senator Coghill, I'll defer to you. Which would you like to go with?
The two easiest ones are 9 and 10.
Okay, let's do that.
Why don't we just go to those, because when we go to the definition of marijuana, it's tough sledding.
Okay, let's do that.
And I want to be able to have a full debate on that, and then I may not be able to prevail, but I just want to at least have a debate.
Okay.
So with that, Madam Chair, if it's all right to go out of sequence, I would move Amendment Number 9, which is S.13.
Excellent. And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
And this would add a new subsection that is, I think, pretty consistent with the initiative. And so the initiative, Mr. Schulte, on 38120C, that's under the employee driving minors and control of property. It said nothing in this chapter is intended to permit the transfer of marijuana with or without remuneration or barter to a person under 21 years of age. And so it really comes down to the question on the value question, and maybe Jordan Schilling could help me. There was some background discussion on this that maybe he can help us with.
Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. The purpose of this amendment is to broaden slightly this concept of giving marijuana to someone without a benefit. So the initiative says the word remuneration a few times. It strictly means monetary gain, money. And a previous version of the bill used the word benefit rather than remuneration. There was some concern by the initiative sponsors that the word benefit was too broad and would include feelings of goodwill or friendship. So in using the word or barter after every occurrence of remuneration, we don't broaden it to that point, but we have it include an exchange of goods and services. And the word barter, it's used in our bribery statutes, it's used in fish and game statutes, it's actually used in Title IV, the alcohol statutes, and it just seems appropriate that there not be a quote-unquote loophole that would allow, say, me to give you marijuana in return for you plowing my driveway all winter. And so that's the purpose of this amendment.
I'll hear from Mr. Schulte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To be honest, I couldn't support the addition of the word, of the phrase, or barter, in part because of the example just given. If two people were to say, hey, I'm going to gift you some of the marijuana that I cultivated, and the other fellow says, hey, that's really awesome, you're a terrific guy and you know, friend and neighbor, and yeah, I'm going to buy your drywall winner. That to me actually seems like a perfectly reasonable exchange between two individuals. And so on the basis of the initiative and the way it's written, I would be opposed to this. However, I would defend it further by saying that this would not promote a black market industry in marijuana. So if what we're trying to do is remove a loophole by which people are, you know, somehow making a business out of this, I don't see this as achieving that, because barter is not to be a part of the black market industry. So to just sort of summarize, I would be opposed to this amendment, but I would argue that it doesn't actually achieve anything of value anyway in terms of, you know, moving a black market to a legitimate industry.
Senator Cockhill?
I might ask. So you would still agree that if you were, first of all, you don't want to permit the transfer of marijuana to somebody under 21, certainly for not remuneration, but I just wanted to make sure that we don't sidestep that by saying, well, we're just trading off stuff. So that was kind of one of the questions that came to my mind. And that there's the value question that Jordan brought up earlier, but there's also this question of, transfer of marijuana with or without remuneration. So you think that is clear enough to say that if they were trading stuff, that could be definitely held, they could be held accountable for transferring to somebody under 21?
Through the chair, Senator Caldwell, I would absolutely not support, you know, delivering or selling or trading marijuana to anybody under 21. I totally agree with you on that. My concern is that by putting this terminology in here, we might be inadvertently broadening some definitions that apply to transactions for people 21 and over, and perhaps I'm misunderstanding the scope of the amendment.
Senator Machiki?
Just pertain exclusively to transfer of marijuana to somebody under 21?
Senator Machiki?
Madam Chair, I believe there are two issues here, and one of them is the barter issue on trying to make sure that marijuana is not transferred to people under the age of 21.
Right. Number one.
And then there's the whether or not bartering is included in the definition of following remuneration going forward throughout the rest of the bill. Is that correct,
right,
Senator?
And that would go into the misconduct of the statutes. So, and that's, I was trying to make sure that in misconduct we didn't have if there was no cash transaction and there was still a transaction, what would that look like? How would you be able to describe that? If the benefit was a question, I would like to, if the remuneration, and you're looking it up, but does it include the trade that we're talking about?
So in Blacks it says payment, compensation, the act of paying or compensating, remuneration.
And that's why I thought we should at least include that barter. If it's going to be a misconduct question, we want clarity. That was what I was looking for.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Shilley.
Legislative Legal Services, and I'm not sure if Hillary Martin's on the line, but it was their opinion that remuneration is strictly a monetary gain, and that's exactly why the bribery statutes don't use the word remuneration, because there's different ways to trade things of value. It's not just money.
I'm just going to say this on the record. I have no idea why our legislative legal drafter is not on the line. It's 2:45. This is the hearing where the bill's up and the amendments are up. She drafted. I'm going to say that. moving forward, Senator Machiki.
Madam Chair, and Mr. Through the chair to Mr. Schulte, it seems to me that the only way that bartering is used is in the illegal application of marijuana and not in the legal sense, which means that illegal, when you talked about the nice neighbor who brings you some quality weed and you decide to mow his, you know, drive your riding mower over just to do him a favor, I'm not sure that it's not allowing that sort of neighborly conduct. Am I correct, Senator Coghill?
That's what the intention is. It's all under the misconduct statutes.
Does that change your opinion, Mr. Schulte?
So the chairman, Senator McKinney, I'm not sure that it does, because by illegal and illegal activity, we seem to be categorizing anything under a permit as legal and anything changed between individuals as illegal. Let me just reiterate, I absolutely oppose delivering marijuana to anyone 21, under 21, so please don't misunderstand that, but I can envision this being, I think that including the word or barter here actually makes this much more subjective. Rather than bringing clarity to the law, it makes it a little bit more subjective, harder to enforce and harder to abide by, because you put individuals in a position of having to evaluate if goodwill or exchange of favors is remuneration or barter. Remuneration has a specific definition, whereas bartering, I think, is so broad that it could be misinterpreted and in some cases even abused or used as an excuse for overzealous enforcement. So for that reason, I don't think I could support this.
Well,
Senator Coghill?
And I understand what he's saying, but if you transfer without remuneration, what does that mean? Then from then on, you have a little more subjective problem. So if you say no cash is going to change hands, how do we get some clarity? Then it becomes your change for value, and you would give it to somebody under 21 years old, you did it without remuneration. Is there a penalty? Anyway, it just looks to me like we should clarify that. If you're trading for value, then it's something that would be a violation. Anyway, so I, with all due respect, I just thought that was something we should clarify.
And this is for a person under the age of 21.
Yeah, you're dealing with the penalty sections for the most part. It does change part of the definition in there, because the definition under the initiative is if you transfer 1 ounce or less of marijuana and up to 6 ounces of immature plants to a person who is 21 years of age or older without remuneration, or assisting a person who is 21 years of age or, so you're taking the without remuneration. That's one way of doing it, but then when you start penalizing it, you also are demanding a cash transaction. So it's legal if you're doing it with somebody 21 years and older, but as soon as you get into the penalty section, the gifting part needs to be clarified, the benefit exchange. Anyway, that. And I'm open. I could follow this further down the road, but I think that it's something that we're going to have to deal with. That's all.
Any members' thoughts on it?
Madam Chair, I support the first section of page 29, following line 4, which is clearly for
the penalties.
For transferring to someone under the age of 21 years of age. I understand the concern as we move further into page 31, line 8, page 31, line 10. It would be nice to have a bit more time offline too, and I don't mean where we can secretly discuss, for goodness sakes, I don't mean that, mm-hmm. But just to process the differences. There clearly are differences, and I understand Mr. Schulte's concern because his concern is that on page 31, line 8, and Mr. Schulte, when I'm through, you can correct me. It's saying a person commits a crime of misconduct if they possess more than 6 but less than 25 marijuana plants, delivers more than 1 ounce of usable marijuana and more than 6 immature marijuana plants, delivers 1 ounce or less of usable marijuana for remuneration. That's clear with Senator Coghill's addition. It would be or barter. And I think that's where it becomes difficult, what that means. If a neighbor brings some over and there's a person with binoculars across the way that has the other neighbor bring someone a hanging plant, decorative plant, because they appreciate it, is that barter? And it probably isn't. So it makes it more difficult after the 21 and under.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Discussion.
Madam Chair, if I could just have Jordan Schilling talk a little bit about the value question, and then I can go ahead and withdraw this, because this is not something to get hung up on, but I wanted to make sure that we were bringing it up for discussion, because to me it's a question on those who are transacting legally, but it's certainly on the penalty section it's a bigger deal.
Through the Chair, Senator Coghill, I think that our main intention is to deal with the adding the word or barter into Section 51 and also 1738.020, which is, again, the heart of the initiative.
The misconduct question.
Yeah, and I think it's possible we could treat this more as a conceptual amendment, maybe consider striking some of the areas that Senator Maticki has concerns with.
Yeah, I mean, page 26, line 6, for example, if we took that out, that doesn't mess with the initiative language, but it goes into the penalty sections. We could do that at this point.
Taking at ease. At ease.
Back on the record, what we would like to say on behalf of the Senate Judiciary Committee is we have an emissary that is going, a liaison, if you will, from our Senate committee on to the next committee of referral, the Senate Finance Committee, and that is Senator Peter Maticki. And he has graciously agreed to work with the initiative sponsors and Senator Coghill and anyone else that comes along that might have other concerns, but we have to get this bill out today because it's got to get moving. And it's been noticed for the Senate Finance Committee for Tuesday. So Senator Coghill has graciously agreed to withdraw this amendment, and we'll have further discussions. And if it's something that's right for consideration, Senator Maticki has said he'll bring it up in the next committee.
So with that, Madam Chair, I'll remove amendment number nine.
Excellent. So
I'll remove that and then just follow the bill with it.
So I remove my objection. He withdraws the amendment. And Senator Maticki.
Madam Chair, I think it's, you hear various things from constituents, and I think, I hope they can recognize that we're doing our best in a very limited time frame to meet the expectations of the initiative any way possible. So when you hear those complaints about it looking like we're stalling, this is a very complicated process.
Yes.
Doing the best we can, there's still some work to go, but
absolutely,
you've gotten a lot of great work done. So
thank you. And I want to say thank you again to my committee members and to the staff. Thank you so much. Yeoman's work on everybody's part. To really make sure that we meet the intent of the public, the people who, not just the people who voted for this, but the Alaskan public that believe in direct democracy and want to make sure that if this isn't the initiative they supported, if the one they do support gets implemented, and that they don't see, you know, people thwarting the will of the public. And that's what we're here to do, but it is very complicated when you have an initiative come in to try to meld it into existing law. And so we're heavy lifting, and I thank you all for that. So amendment number 10, I'm going to have Nancy Mead and Diane come forward here. And put your names on the record. This is my amendment, but it's really their amendment and the people who've been working. This has been a dialogue. It has been a dialogue about the way that we treat juveniles who, it started out in Title IV. This is a bill that Senator Michicki is going to be putting forward later this year. There's a working group that has been hard at work on looking at this issue of minors who take in alcohol before the age of that they're licensed to do, and then what do we do about that, and how do we treat it, and should it be on court view, and should they be before a judge, and should we make sure they have treatment? And we've had very healthy conversation in this committee, and I'm really proud of my committee members, because now we're looking at marijuana, and what we decided right away is we want to be as consistent as possible. You actually heard the municipality talk about that. They may not be privy to some of the things that are happening in the alcohol arena. So I want to say on the record, and I'm going to let Senator Michicki talk as well, that what we're doing in Amendment Number 10 is we are doing our best to forward the thoughts about what we'd like to do in the area of alcohol for delinquent minors in the area of marijuana so that the two can marry up consistently. And the thought process incorporates some of the things that Senator Coghill, some of the things Senator Costello, and some of the things Senator Michicki talked about, and I did, which is we want to make sure that young people who are caught using marijuana at a young age before their brain has fully developed, their frontal lobe, recognize that there are serious consequences to it, to their brain development, to the potential for addiction, that we care about them, that it's not something to just pay off and move aside. And so, therefore, Senator Coghill talked about this idea of making sure that it possibly is on court view. We want them to know there's a consequence to that. We want there to be a fine that their parents see that is a part of a family unit to talk about and that it's a big deal because we can care about them. And kids need boundaries. We want to make sure that there's some connection to the court system because of that reasoning as well. And we also want there to be an opportunity for diversion, for treatment, again, because they may come from a family where there's a genetic predisposition to addiction, or they may be on a path where they're going to go down that route, and we want to get to them early. We know that I think it's on the order of 67% of new addicts are coming from this pool of young people in both marijuana and alcohol. So that's the spirit of Amendment Number 10, and so I'm going to go ahead and move it and have an objection. If you guys would put your names on the record and speak to it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Alaska Court System, and I, like you, just received the amendment, and I will initially say just the court system's thoughts on this, and that is I think it is a step towards exactly what you are going for. We wouldn't have any problem with reducing the fine to $50, the second thing on the amendment. I think that the Supreme Court bail schedule, that is for those under 18 having a mandatory court appearance, we could do that. I think there are better ways to do that than the wording that would appear in this amendment, and I can talk about that later with Senator Michicki or wherever you would see it, but that is fine. I guess one thought I had is it might present a problem for law enforcement knowing which ticket to hand somebody. Depending on their age, they would get a different citation. $100 because you're 18 and a half. Sorry, you have to show up at court next week because you're 17 and a half. But that's not exactly the court's issue. We could certainly comply with that statute. And as I say, I might have a suggestion for making it more straightforward. One of the reasons is we establish codes that law enforcement has to use when they file citations with us. And just preliminarily, it would be easier to have a different statute for those under 18 than for those over 18. But that's something that we can work out and is not difficult at all in terms of drafting. The next part of the amendment, though, it is a little bit problematic. I don't think it accomplishes what you are trying to accomplish, and maybe this is something the drafter didn't quite realize, but this looks to me like an amendment to the state public records law.
Okay.
And the court system is not subject to the state public records law. We have our own public records provisions.
Okay.
So an amendment to Title 40, I don't think would accomplish exactly what you want. That said, I think if you had what you have there in the new Section 137, the effect would be that the court would try to implement the legislative intent and would keep conviction records for juveniles, even though it's a violation, and that would be unusual, confidential like we do with other juvenile records. So we would honor the legislative intent, but there's also a better way to do that, I think. I think the legislature's goal, or at least the members of this committee that I heard previously, was to get those cases off court view. Yeah. And we have a way to draft that I think would get those cases off court view so that the juvenile doesn't suffer future consequences that folks believe stem from having your name on court view, and yet have the case file public like all other case files. And this was an issue in the past, in past legislatures, and you know, frankly, the Supreme Court has had a new thinking on whether the legislature should be doing that, making that sort of a check on court view records, and has come to the recent conclusion that that is a policy-laden determination. And if the legislature wants to just get cases off court view, there's a way that you can do that, and I have suggested language, and that might be more aligned with exactly what you're trying to do without causing the consequential problems of having whole case files confidential. And so I have that language, and I've provided it to your staff, and will also, as I told Ms. Casto, be providing it to the folks who are working on the underage drinking violations. So that might be a little bit more in keeping with your intent.
Nancy?
Yes, Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What we had talked about is while the case is active, until it's satisfied, they would be on court view, and then these underage folks would be off court view once that is satisfied. Is that what you had written in the language that you delivered?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, that is what I had written, and part of the reason for that, it's helpful to litigants while their case is alive to have their case on court view. They can go in and see what's happening. They can pay their ticket at any time with their Visa card, and so, you know, it probably is helpful for everyone to have the case on court view, but I think the wording that I had suggested to your staff was along the lines of shall not be published on a publicly available website after the court proceedings are completed and the case is closed. So hopefully that will work, and I will, you know, speak to your staff about that suggestion, and again, provide it to the alcohol folks.
Fantastic.
Hi, Diane Casto, Prevention Manager for Division of Behavioral Health. And I have to say, I've not seen the hard copy of the amendment. Matt was kind enough to show me on his phone, so I was reading it.
Yes.
But it looks like we are moving in the right direction. I do have one question, and I should have thought of this earlier. But with the alcohol work that we are doing, we are looking at the same penalty for everyone under 21. Although in this, with the marijuana, it looks like there's a distinction between those who are 18, 19, and 20 with a lesser penalty and those under 18 with a higher penalty. Am I reading that correctly? So I was just more curious in terms of your original statement about wanting to make these as consistent as possible, because with alcohol we go strictly, it is not legal for anyone under 21 years of age.
If I could point out, Madam Chair, I believe that's the case. It looks like the misconduct involving marijuana in the third, which would be 1738-220, three, it's the wrong draft.
Oh,
under 18, if you have less than an ounce, then you're in the MIM 3 category. Mm-hmm. And then if you flip to MIM 4, under 18 but at least 18, less than an ounce, you're in the MIM 4 category. But that's just your call. I just
Got
point
it.
That out for ease of reference.
Got it. Good point. Okay, excellent. Well, I'm going to go ahead and withdraw amendment number 10. And allow Senator Machicki to decide to carry that banner.
loading you up.
Which I believe he will. Senator Machicki?
Madam Chair, just be careful of the title you give me as I go to finance with marijuana legislation.
That's yes.
Something that could stick, so.
Liaison.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't say anything else. I just said liaison. Honorable liaison. Okay. Now, we were with Senator Coghill. You had a couple. These were kind of the big ones.
Yeah.
And this has to do with the fundamental, and thank you both very much. This has to do with the issue of the initiative said 1 ounce. But your concern was in the liquid form versus the flowering plant form, is there a higher THC content, and how can that be discussed? And you have two different amendments that sort of tackle it in different ways?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment number 6, for example, would go to the THC concentration of 50% of the marijuana, which I think Jordan Schilling and I did as much research as we could. We found that was reasonable. That would be probably a little harder to enforce. Amendment number 8 that I am probably, which would be a little easier to enforce probably, but has other problems, would deal with the grams of marijuana concentrate. And I think for enforcement, that's a little bit better because we already, under the controlled substances, the police already carry a meter that can do grams. And but it does have its other problems. And so the one goes right straight to the heart of the issue in the marijuana definition. The other one deals with penalties, I think. And so if I could have Jordan come up here and now maybe Mr. Schulte has had a chance to look at the amendment number 6. And, you know, it's a concept of how to get the answer to the question that I'm trying to find, Madam Chair, is we're going to have penalties on marijuana. And so when they go to marijuana, they're going to say, what does that mean? And they're going to go over on the third degree marijuana charge, and they're going to say, well, marijuana means, and it means all this stuff. So it could be less than an ounce of marijuana, which means it could be less than an ounce of the leafy green. It could be less than an ounce of marijuana in a, say, a baked cookie or some kind of baked good. And they could exclude the weight of the cooked goods, you know. But then you have this concentrate issue that is hash oil and other concentrates that you might use, say, in a vaporizer, which if you have 3/4 of an ounce of that, by way of value, it's just significantly different. And so I thought, well, maybe we could describe it by way of THC concentration. And maybe Mr. Schulte has had a chance to look at Amendment Number 6, and if he has some input. I know we're going to the definition thing, so my first thing is I know that's going to be a negative, but I'm trying to find some answers to that question, Madam Chair.
Okay. Mr. Schulte, have you been able to pull up Amendment Number 6?
Madam Chair, yes, I have. And through the chair, and thank you for the delay so that I could do that. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, I so want to be positive and supportive in so many of these things, but unfortunately, yeah, this is one that I really could not support. Now, I would just, if I may, just offer a comment on your explanation. When it comes to edibles, I think there is potential for very, very clear, concise limits on the content. That's something that we support. That's something that Cynthia Franklin has articulated based on her experience in Colorado, you know, limitations on, you know, single serving size, maximum amount contained in a packaged edible product. That one I think we can deal with very comfortably. When it comes to the changing the definition, though, that's the one that I really can't support. I understand the concern, but I think that this would be a fundamental change to the intent of the initiative. It is true, being a reasonable person, I would have to concede that potency of flour versus hash versus hash oil varies. I can see that. But I also would argue that that is what the initiative encompassed, that the people who understood that knew that's what it was and voted for it accordingly. And I think that this could have some really negative unintended consequences for home consumers on the medical side in particular, because their preferred form of consumption is those concentrates. So to make such a fundamental change to this definition, I think would have such potential for far-reaching consequences. It's not something I could support.
Senator Cockell.
And I'm sympathetic to that. So it's just, I have to raise the question. And is there any, in this definition, there's no way that we're going to be able to pull this hash oil out and put it under controlled substance. And in my view, that's where it properly belongs. But in this definition, so is there any way that we can quantify it under a misconduct circumstance?
To the chair, Senator, was that a question for me?
Yes, I'm looking for some guidance, and I'll tell you why, because I have Amendment Number 8 that I was bringing up, and under misconduct, maybe there's a way we could get to it. If you could open up the bill, and maybe what I'll do, Madam Chair, is I'll just move Amendment Number 8, and we'll just talk about it, because I tend to agree with them. This complicates a lot of other things.
Okay. Do you want to withdraw Amendment Number 6?
I'll just withdraw Amendment Number 6 at this point, and I may not withdraw my questions, but
we won't ask you to do that. So Amendment Number 6 has been withdrawn. You want to move?
I'll move Amendment Number 8.
Okay. Amendment Number 8, and I'll object.
So, Madam Chair and members of the committee and those listening in, this goes to the misconduct statutes on page 29, line 22, and it would just add this section under the marijuana concentrate, and it would say possesses more than 5 grams of marijuana concentrate. And I think under the misconduct, it's reasonable to say an ounce of marijuana or 5 grams of marijuana concentrate. It shows that that we recognize there are different potencies under this misconduct statute. And I would also follow on page 30, line 5, the same deal. It would bring in the first degree that 5 gram limitation of concentrate, and the expectation that I understand is that is where your hash oil comes in, and we're looking at now misconduct of a much higher potency than what is normally thought of as an ounce of marijuana, but the equivalency and potency of the flower and leaf, in my view, from all the study I can do, is about 5 grams of hash oil, basically. And maybe, Madam Chair, if I could have Jordan maybe fill in anything that I have misunderstood or needs to be clarified.
Mr. Schilling.
Through the Chair, Senator Cockhill. Yes, I think that's all correct. I think these two amendments, the one we just heard and the one before us, are really would be the legislature acknowledging that there is a difference between the concentrates and the naturally occurring flower, kind of like the difference between beer and whiskey. And I think common sense tells us that the voters thought that they were legalizing marijuana, and marijuana is considered by most people to be the green leafy stuff. And so this it's not entirely an arbitrary number, 5 grams. Did a little math and tried to find an equivalency based on some different concentrations, and so this would simply add in a 5 gram cap into our MIM misconduct crimes.
Okay.
I should add two, Madam Chair. Colorado weighed their options. They didn't do it, but they did weigh their options to restrict marijuana by concentration. I know that Amsterdam is considered something similar, but I think we would be the first jurisdiction with legal marijuana to do this.
So I have a question.
Senator Chickie.
It's kind of about intent in the initiative. I mean, I know when we often say this, and I forced myself not to say it any longer, what the voters thought when they supported, because it's written in black and white, and whether or not they read a word of it or not, it passed. And it's kind of where we are, right? We all agree with that. So did they intend to have the equivalency of the THC potency of 1 ounce, or did they intend to have the quantity of 1 ounce is the question. And I guess that's what the committee has to ask itself. And I really respect your work on trying to get to the best way to protect Alaskans going forward, right? I mean, that's what we're doing. That's a tough decision as well.
Well, I can answer for me. The misconducts that we're working with are a little bit outside of the initiative, and so that's why I poked at the definition, which was right in the heart of the initiative. And I still have a problem with that. But I could see that would be very, very difficult to challenge. But under the misconduct, you're dealing with a potency question that should be corresponding to the penalty. And at this point, the way we're moving, you can have, the difference between grand theft auto and scratching a car under the same penalty, you know. So to me, I'm trying to get a corresponding feel for this. And so that's why I went to find out what was the corresponding value of an ounce that most people would have thought of as the leafy, because we talked about plants and we talked about, things that were really ready to use and those that were growing. And this particular issue is a value question that I've tried to get my hands around. You've heard me talk about it in the committee a number of times. And so if the definition is harder to move, and I agree, then at least when we're talking about penalties, there should be a corresponding value statement, and that's the closest I can get to it.
Madam Chair,
can I ask
Mr. Schulte a question?
Absolutely.
I'm not embarrassed by my ignorance about quantities and concentrations of marijuana, but I do want to ask the question, is 5 grams of marijuana or 5 grams of marijuana concentrate the approximate equivalence to 1 ounce of, I assume, fairly potent marijuana? Is that an adequate quantity? How do you feel about the amendment? And Mr. Schulte, I'm asking very respectfully. We have to make ultimately the decision, and we may not agree with you, but I'm trying to get all the education I possibly can from you.
Absolutely, Senator Machicki. No, I appreciate your thoughts on this and the effort that everybody's devoting to this, because it's a big issue and it's got a short time schedule. I think that somewhere between 4 to 5 grams of hash oil from an ounce of good quality flour is probably a fairly reasonable correlation. I would further suggest that I think that an informed voter, given that the preferred form of consumption these days is largely concentrated, I would contend that the informed voter understood that and voted for it accordingly. So, again, I would support the text of the initiative as it was written as being, what the voters truly wanted. But to answer your question, yes, I think 4 to 5 grams of oil concentrated from an ounce of flour would be a reasonable ratio.
Senator Chickie.
So to further clarify, when you talked about the text of the initiative, you're saying that you felt that the intention of the initiative was 1 ounce of marijuana concentrate, up to 1 ounce of marijuana concentrate, or the potency equivalency of 1 ounce of marijuana?
Through the chair, Senator Chickie, it's my belief that the intent was to have 1 ounce of any of those marijuana products, whether it was flour, hash, or hash oil.
Tough one.
And that's one of the...
Just
This is one of the reasons why initiatives and committee processes are very, very different processes. Madam Chair, I know you have at least one way of looking at it that may be better, and so I wanted a thorough discussion on this. I don't know that I'm satisfied with the answers at this point, and I think the 5 grams, no matter which way we go in this misconduct, is going to be hard to adjust. Especially, it would still be in contradiction to the actual definition. And so with that, I'm going to withdraw this, but you may see something like this on the floor once I've thought it through.
Okay, so amendment number 8 has been withdrawn. I'm going to offer amendment number 11. And Mr. Schulte has seen this amendment. I'm going to move it if you'd object, Senator Coghill.
You want me to object?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll object because
okay.
I want to hear it.
So what this amendment would do, page 28, following line 28, so this is section 50, it's going to insert a new section to section 1738090 to amend Alaska statute to read a sub C that says the board shall adopt a regulation that prohibits a retail marijuana store from selling more than 5 grams of marijuana concentrate a day to a customer. And I think this is reasonable. I think that we've centered around this topic long enough as it is. We actually regulate Sudafed, Claritin D, all kinds of things that go into methamphetamine production and so forth. There's a healthy amount of testimony that the concentrates are disconcerting. And we want to go easy into this, and I think this is a way of addressing what Senator Coghill's talking about and giving some discretion to the board. And so I offer it with that. And Bruce, do you want to, Mr. Schulte, would you like to offer some testimony on the record?
Madam Chair, thanks for that opportunity. I think that's a very reasonable direction to go, given the concerns and the discussion thus far. So I have no objection to that.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay.
Withdraw my objection then, Madam Chair.
Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 11 carries. So that brings the bill back before us for any further discussion. We do have just a couple folks from the public that would like to testify, and I'd like to go to them. They're spread out around the state. So we have George Pierce, who's in Kasimov. Mr. Pierce?
Can you hear me?
Yes, and George, if it's okay, we'd like to ask you, if it's possible, if you could keep it to 3 minutes, that would just be great.
Well, I'll hurry up the best I can, and my name is George Pierce. I live in Kasilof, Alaska, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself.
Great.
You know, listening to this, you folks really need to listen to somebody that knows what they're talking about. It's plain to see you don't because of the questions that have been asked. And answered, you hear things like maybe, or I think, or I don't know. Let me give you a little bit of facts. As a cannabis is not physically addictive, you can use cannabis for many years, and then you can give it up at any time. Something that I hear that is very hard for alcoholics, tobacco users, heroin and cocaine addicts, and people hooked on pharmaceutical medicines. There's nothing in cannabis that programs the brain to crave harder drugs. Cannabis does not cause brain damage. That was debunked by the National Center for Toxicology Research. Cannabis does not cause violence. It actually suppresses violence. So all that out of the way, and now we are considering regulations. We should regulate marijuana like alcohol and nothing more. You're trying to make it worse than it you think it is. A study by the U.S. National Highway Safety Administration on marijuana and actual driving performance, the study looked at drivers under various dosages of cannabis. on freeways and on urban driving conditions, concluded that pet intoxication in drivers does have some effect, but unlike alcohol, which appears to encourage risky driving, cannabis appears to provide caution in drivers, because cannabis users are very aware than drunk drivers. Cannabis use may provide a safer substitute for other harmful drugs and even substitute for alcohol. We need to regulate it like alcohol and nothing added. Now you got the police giving blood tests. They're not doctors, and that's going to relate in a lawsuit. We have saliva and we have hair testing. You need to quit trying to scare people with these blood tests by policemen. There's too many restrictions. You're trying to make it more of a punishment that is wrong to do. It is less dangerous than alcohol and harder drugs. You're trying to change this referendum into how you want it to regulate it. Don't change it your way. Educate yourself and stop listening to people that don't know anything about it. And please stop fast-tracking this bill. It's not, when you do that, it makes everything worse. You had some legislators stated in the House, Bill Wachowski, he made a comment last week and said alcohol, heroin, and cocaine have no medicinal purposes. That's all false. They use all of those for medical purposes. So, you need to educate and quit comparing marijuana to yourself. You need to quit comparing marijuana to cocaine, heroin, and alcohol. Is like comparing apples and oranges.
Thank you.
You should regulate it, not make it illegal like you're trying. Governor Walker has suggested that many regulations could be developed by a new marijuana board that shares resources with the Alcohol Beverage Control Board.
And they will. Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Thank you very much.
You know, you need to, you folks, just by listening to the questions and the answers, I get it. You don't know what you're doing. And the people that you're listening to, it seems to me like the people that are testifying are the ones money on restricting it.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Pierce.
You're tearing this thing apart, and you're distracting every little thing about.
Thank you. We're going to go to Jamie Rogers in Two Rivers.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I request that you that you ask? Yeah, there's a timer. Very good. I believe it's fairest for every testifier.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Rogers, Jamie Rogers.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. And Jamie, you have 3 minutes.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
First, the definition of public. Something that, although, according to my notes, actually Senator Michiki alluded to this in one of the earliest meetings, is the use of camping, etc. Let's say we're out here going to Chena Lakes for 4th of July or something. People set their camp. They're allowed to drink. They're allowed to smoke cigarettes, but under the definition you've been discussing, they are not allowed to smoke pot. So I think that needs to be considered, that, you know, in public camping, okay? You know, in a situation like I've just described, I don't need to elaborate on it. It's only fair. You're camping. You can drink. You can smoke a cigarette around your campfire. But you should be allowed to smoke pot. And on that vein, it's kind of like crossing public neighbors' lines, and all the discussion that's been on that, and was told just passed an ordinance or something on that. The deal on that is, and this is a way for the state to save money, is that public nuisance laws have been on the books for centuries, literally. And if people find, I mean, there's always obvious respect for your neighbors, but if it can't be achieved by discussion with your neighbors and trying to reason with them, they are free to rally other neighbors or themselves and to file a civil, private, public lawsuit. And that's the way to deal with that. You might consider that. Another thing, I have concerns about in the initiative, this licensing versus registration. That's a real issue. There's a big difference between registering for either a business or an agricultural thing and licensing. And speaking of agriculture, I was noticing you guys were differentiating between separate licenses, which should be registration, but between agriculture and manufacturing. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole concentrates issue, but say a person's growing pot, right? Part of the pot growing process, unless you want it to mold, is going to include drying it out. And that, I think, you guys are not considering under the manufacture. If you're an agricultural pot grower, you're going to need to dry it out. That shouldn't be considered a part of manufacturing. Also.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rogers. Thank you very much for your testimony. And if you want to submit anything else, we're happy to receive it by email. Okay, next I'm going to go to Wasilla, to Don Hart.
Yes, I'm here.
You have 3 minutes, Mr. Hart.
Okay, thank you. What's his name?
Mr. Michi. Michiki.
Mr. Michiki.
And please put your name on the record.
I beg your pardon?
Please.
My name is Don Hart, and I'm speaking for myself.
Excellent.
Mr. Michiki, I would like to agree with you. I do believe that you actually are trying to comply with the intent of the voters when they pass Prop 2. I'm not too sure about the rest of them, but I do believe that you have actually demonstrated the intent of the will of the voters. I have a couple of things here that I wanted to ask a question about to all of the members. One of them is that nothing in the bill itself, any of the bills that I've seen so far, makes an exception for people who are treating themselves or being treated by the use of marijuana in whatever capacity it happens to be, whether it's concentrated form, oils, hashes, whatever it happens to be, whether it's prescribed by a doctor or whether it's prescribed by whatever use it is for certain medical treatments, whether it's cancer, debilitating illness, or whatever. There's not any exception in there. So, and including those under age 21, a lot of the youth are required to use certain types of medical treatment as a result of either a prescription or whether it's one of the oils in treatment or whether it's a concentrated form of some type for medical purposes. But nothing in here, regardless of where you have the bill where it refers to age 21 or under age 18, refers to an exclusion for those who are using it for medical purposes. And another thing that I have a problem with is where all of this bill refers to people being under the influence of, whether it's if the problem you have with under the influence when you tack marijuana onto alcohol. Alcohol has a complete history of studies that have been done when people are under the influence and the graduation of it as it increases in the blood after consumption and for the period of time that it decreases over time. The marijuana, there is no study anywhere in the entire United States, and there is no device known to man in any of the forensic laboratories, because I owned three of them before, that have the ability to determine whether or not a person is under the influence of the use of marijuana. Now, the problem with this is what you've written in this law is creating an impossible task for law enforcement to be able to determine whether a person is under influence or not. What you've done is you've placed on them the burden of saying, from my appearance, from my knowledge and experience, I believe you're under the influence of something, so therefore we're going to take you over and get a blood test. The problem is, and another thing over here on page 58 where you have, where you said the use where a person may not operate a commercial vehicle if they've had consumed marijuana, for instance, within 4 hours. The problem you have is there no device known to man that can determine whether a person has used marijuana or what period of time that marijuana was used. There isn't any way of testing that. So you're placing an overwhelming burden on the law enforcement agencies, overwhelming burden on the Alaska Crime Lab, and you're placing a non-definitive law placed as a burden on the people, which appears to attempt to legislate away what the people voted the approval of.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hart. And just for all of you that are listening to, what I think is so, just to respond on behalf of the committee, so the bill is almost 90 pages, and I really encourage all of you, if you get a chance, to go on BASIS and spend the weekend just reading it. I think one of the difficulties when you tune into a hearing is there's a tendency to sort of believe that the bill only does a certain few things, and it doesn't do other things, for an example. So with respect to medical marijuana, that's a separate initiative that's already addressed in Alaska statute. There are already rights and provisions associated with that. Minors have rights to it, prescriptions to it, et cetera, just to make that clear. And nothing about this bill relates to medical marijuana. With respect to the issue of driving while impaired, that's already illegal. That's already something that's in Alaska statute. Driving while impaired using marijuana or anything else is already illegal. So the only thing that we're doing that's different is we're taking marijuana out of the controlled substances statute, which actually makes it better. If you're the person out there that uses marijuana and believes that we've treated it unfairly, this should be a better day for you. What we're doing is we're saying that we're going to regulate it. And then more to the point, what we're also doing is we're saying that if you're 21 and older, we're going to allow you to possess it, to transport it, and those sorts of things legally. And we're going to put in place the ability to have a regulatory structure where you can buy and sell it. So I think there's a significant amount I'm hearing in public testimony of perhaps misunderstanding about what the bill does and doesn't do, and that's unfortunate. There are penalties that have to be associated whenever you go ahead and regulate a substance and make it legal in the way that right now it's not legal at all outside of your home to possess it. So clearly for minors and other sorts of things, there are going to be some penalties in here, and I think people are focusing on that. But overall, for marijuana users, it's a better day in Alaska, so I just want to put that on the record for what that's worth. I'm going to go to Rhonda Marcy from Wasilla. And again, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the committee for the opportunity to testify today, and I'd also like to thank Mr. Schulte for all his effort. It is appreciated. I would like to speak to 1738-200A1V. The manufacture of marijuana concentrate or extract using a volatile or explosive gas.
Okay.
I object to this in this provision and in the next provision of D as well. There's many other industries in Alaska that use volatile or explosive gases in their jobs without being made a penalty of a first-degree marijuana offense. It is an industry standard in those industries outside that are lawfully using it, and there are machinery and ways that the gas is used properly, and it would be seemingly more in line with the ballot measure if you made it so that the people who want to use the product in this method get it from a regulated and licensed business as opposed to making it illegal for the business all the way. I also object very much to your definition of marijuana. I don't know, you removed the word stalks from it and saying that the fiber from the stalk is okay, but I'm still confused. Is the stalk then going to be considered, as you have in the definition, as part of the marijuana, where carrying an ounce of stalk that has no drug value whatsoever is still going to count to the ounce that you can lawfully obtain? It does seem that after we voted to legalize what had been the definition of basically the leaves and flowering tops of the cannabis plant, the actual part of it that contains any drug activities,
and you have now included the definition to mean the whole plant. Well, why don't we just use the word cannabis then, because that's what you're talking about, the whole plant. And so it makes it very confusing to how you guys have started to change it after we voted on making the leaves and the flowering tops of this plant legal. Again, I know it's short time, and I know that we didn't even get to see one of the amendments here. It's happening so quickly that it makes it hard to get and follow what you guys are doing while you're doing it. But I look forward to following this bill, and I will ask to have, I made written comments to the House Judiciary Committee. I'm going to ask the nice lady here if she could help me distribute my comments to you as well. Thank you for your time.
And thank you very much, Rhonda. I certainly appreciate your public testimony. We look forward to receiving it. And just so that you know, what we did, because it's been our testimony, our hearings have been set over the course of a few weeks. We adopted the initiative definition for marijuana. We actually amended it in favor. So taking out stalks was an attempt to get at what would be the potent part of the weight. We did remove the word salt, however, and that was with the initiative sponsor's approval, recognizing that salt had some fairly dangerous connotations to it. So I just want to make that clear on the record. Again, it was the initiative language, and the amendment was in your favor. Okay, final person to testify is Virginia Espenshade. She's in Homer.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
My name is Virginia Espenshade. For 19 years, I've been the executive director of the Kenai Peninsula Youth Court. Like other youth courts in Alaska, my program currently receives referrals of both misdemeanor marijuana cases from DJJ for youth under 18 and referrals of minor consuming alcohol cases from the district court per current statute AS 416-050. I'm speaking for myself, but my comments are based on my experience with dozens of these cases over the years. Some of my comments are directly inspired by your discussions earlier this week and today. First, I'll speak to parent attendance. Parents must accompany youth under 18 to the district court proceedings regarding MCAs under the current Title IV statute. Most judges in our district use this proceeding to help educate the youth and parents as to why the community and the court are concerned about the youth choices. Then if the youth is diverted to youth court, or in our district there's also diversion programs with the Tribal Circle program, again, the parents or guardians must also attend that diversion. Second, I can attest to actual instances of barriers caused by an alcohol conviction or even a marijuana case that was diverted and resolved through youth court with no adjudication of record. Examples include exclusion from National Guard. Certified nurse assistants have had to wait until their convictions are set aside in district court, and universities check any public database for previous records. I would make a footnote to the court system's comments about the distinction between keeping it off court view, which I totally support, but also their concern about keeping the files confidential. If a case file is not confidential, anyone can go to the courthouse and read it. Local media often says if a public person can read it, we're going to put it in the newspaper. So there are communities where the MCA filings are published in the newspaper, and unless that file is labeled as confidential, I think that would continue. Even if not entered as a criminal conviction, many schools, employers, and other programs ask on their applications about any drug or alcohol offense. I've had young adults send me copies of those applications because it's so confusing as in their minds, and they want to be honest. I really have seen these records close doors. I'm running out of time, so I'll try to focus. I fully support the Alcohol Board's idea of keeping an MCA convictions out of court view or eventually removing it from court view. I think the same approach would be appropriate for under 21 using or possessing marijuana. I ask you to add community diversion panels to any provision of sentencing options for underage marijuana use or possession, similar to the language in the present 416-050. I ask that because many diversion agreements are already in place with community programs. They do include education and treatment programs, but not exclusively. And the phrase community diversion panel would be more inclusive, especially in the rural areas. And I could answer any questions you have if I've raised any. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Virginia. You are a wealth of knowledge. I want to make sure that you are in contact with Senator Peter Michicki's office as well, because he is going to be working on Title IV, and he is also, as I said, going to be our liaison from this committee to the Finance Committee, where this bill goes next. So he'll be working on fine-tuning the drafting of the provision related to minors. So I'm going to make sure he has your name, and I just want to make sure you know that's the person that's going to be working on that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone here in the audience that I've overlooked that wishes to offer public testimony on the CS for Senate Bill number 30? Is there anyone online wishing to offer testimony on the CS for Senate Bill number 30? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, public testimony is closed. That brings the amended committee substitute with accompanying fiscal notes back before us. Senator Coghill.
Madam Chair, I move that we move CS for Senate Bill number 30, Judiciary, as amended from committee with attached fiscal notes.
Is there an objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, it is moved, and we will see you all back here on Monday. We're adjourned.